It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is mostly cloudy, but the sun is shining through. Out of the airport, they are showing northeast winds to 5 miles per hour, and they have 10 miles of visibility. Mostly cloudy skies for today, tonight, and tomorrow, with scattered showers this afternoon and a high near 54, north winds to 5. Low around 44 overnight tonight with northwest winds gusting to 20. And for tomorrow, just a chance of rain in the afternoon, isolated showers in the morning, cloudy skies tomorrow too with a high near 55, west winds to 10. Coming up on the Midday Report, the husband of U.S. Representative Mary Peltola has died in a plane crash. A memorial here in Kodiak at the Bayside Fire Hall for the 9/11 remembrance had a dual purpose.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Nearly 150,000 unionized workers are on the verge of going on strike against Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. The president of the United Auto Workers Union, Sean Fain, tells ABC's Good Morning America that pay and benefit increases for the rank and file pale in comparison to the amount of money executives have earned in recent years.
We've been very upfront from the beginning with the companies that we're not picking a target. The target is the big three. And we expect, you know, September 14th is a deadline. We expect to have agreements with all three companies by that date. The workers deserve that. And if they do not have an agreement by that date, then there will be action.
A UAW strike could prove politically costly for President Biden and his campaign for re-election. He has positioned himself as heavily pro-union. Utah U.S. Senator Mitt Romney has announced he will not seek re-election in 2024. Romney is known in the Senate as a frequent bipartisan negotiator and was the only Senate Republican to vote twice to convict former President Donald Trump following separate impeachment trials. An all-day search for earthquake victims is stretching late into the night in Morocco's remote Atlas Mountain villages. It's been days since the magnitude 6.8 tremor struck. The death toll is approaching 3,000. NPR's Lauren Freyer reports on the precarious circumstances of the thousands who survived the quake.
Survivors are camping out in donated tents on the outskirts of towns. You know, in cities, it was because of fear of aftershocks, didn't want to go back into buildings. In the mountains, it's because the homes just simply aren't there anymore. And they're, you know, living outside now in baking heat by day and frigid temperatures at night. Aid convoys are moving in, dropping off supplies, but then sort of moving on.
NPR's Lauren Freyer reporting. After 14 days on the run, law enforcement captured the man who escaped from a Pennsylvania prison without incident. Kenny Cooper from Philadelphia member station WHYY reports authorities said Danilo Cavalcante was captured without a shot being fired.
Authorities say Danilo Cavalcante was lying under a pile of logs in rural Chester County at 8 a.m. on Wednesday morning. By then, thermal imaging cameras already had eyes on him. And before Cavalcante could make a move, law enforcement agents surrounded him. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says officers did extraordinary work.
I hope the good people of Pennsylvania, and indeed the folks all across this nation, got a chance to see how government is supposed to work, how law enforcement is supposed to work, where we all come together, where we focus on the mission.
Cavalcante was serving a life sentence for murdering his ex-girlfriend in 2021. For NPR News, I'm Kenny Cooper in Philadelphia.
You're listening to NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. The husband of Alaska's sole U.S. representative has been killed in a plane crash on the YK Delta. Eugene Peltola, who went by Buzzy, died after his plane crashed in a remote and mountainous area outside the village of St. Mary's. Jennifer Homendy is the chair of the National Transportation Safety Board.
The pilot flew a Hunter and the Hunter's equipment to a remote location that's 64 miles northeast of St. Mary's, Alaska. According to the Alaska Rescue Coordination Center, they received the first 406 emergency locator transmitter transmission about 8:48 p.m. last night. The plane appears to have crashed on departure.
During a press conference, Homendy said Peltola had dropped off a Hunter and hunting equipment Tuesday evening. As of Wednesday morning, Homendy said NTSB officials were headed to the crash site to begin an investigation.
Now, the goals of the team that is heading out to the scene are to get access to the wreckage, to document the wreckage and any evidence, and conduct interviews of any of the witnesses. We are working with the Alaska Air National Guard to provide helicopter transportation to our team and to the parties so that they can get to the remote location.
Alaska state troopers say two hunters who were not involved in the crash arrived at the downed plane and provided medical care. An Alaska Air National Guard rescue team arrived early this morning, but after Peltola had already died. The two hunters and Peltola's body were taken to Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. Peltola's body has been sent to the state medical examiner's office for autopsy. Buzzy Peltola was born in Bethel. He is Tlingit and Yupik, and a member of the Uruchagugmut Native Council, who had a background in business and local government. He worked with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, led subsistence management, and he was the top Alaska official in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. He retired last summer as his wife was running for office. He recently joked that he was adjusting to his new job as arm candy to the congresswoman. Condolences for Buzzy Peltola and his family have been pouring in. Peltola's staff described him as a devoted family man and a person who was good, obnoxiously good at everything. They say Representative Mary Peltola is headed back to Alaska to be with her family. The Peltolas have 7 children. Monday was the 22nd anniversary of one of the deadliest terrorist attacks in the United States history, and a harrowing day for emergency services. Memorials were held all over the country, but as KMXT's Brian Venwa reports, one in Kodiak served a dual purpose.
Traffic zoomed by the Bayside Fire Hall as a few dozen people gathered around a new fire truck. The truck was an integral part of the ceremony, which included a prayer from a chaplain as well as a speech from Scott Ellis, Bayside's fire chief, who was on the East Coast during the 9/11 tragedy.
I had gotten off shift in the morning, grabbed my young son, who's now a career fireman in a city outside of New York City. He was 3 at the time, went back to the firehouse I was assigned to, and we were all just there watching this.
Nearly 350 emergency responders died in the line of duty. Ellis says he wanted to christen the new fire truck on the anniversary as a way to honor them. The new truck is a Dodge Ram modified by Rebel Brush Trucks, a company that specializes in fire response vehicles. It's smaller than the large red fire trucks people are used to seeing, but a bit bigger than a typical pickup truck you might see at a dealership. Ellis says that's the point.
This vehicle kind of fills a void. We're going to be employing it as a fast attack vehicle, which basically means appropriately it will be the jack of all trades, master of none, but seriously it is a platform that is excellent for the dicier areas of the road system.
The truck holds an assortment of firefighting gear, has extra clearance for rough terrain, and holds about 450 gallons of water that it can shoot out of a small pump. Ellis says the new vehicle will help firefighters respond faster and more efficiently.
We can handle things like car fires with it. We can handle things like dumpster fires with it. We can get up small, narrow, difficult to traverse driveways to homes that are set way back, where we might not be able to get a traditional pumper up there, so we can at least initiate some exterior fire attack while we work to get hose from a traditional pumper up to the scene.
John Parker has volunteered to help with the fire department's logistics for about 15 years, and he helped pick some of the traditions used to christen the new truck.
Pour a little water and show them. Show everybody the water. Here you go. We're adding the first water into the tank.
The idea is to hand pour the first water that will serve the community. Parker also had volunteers push the truck into the hall by hand, a tradition that dates back to when fire response vehicles were pulled by horses.
Now it's in reverse.
The new truck is stationed at the Bayside Fire Hall near Mill Bay, where it can be dispatched at a moment's notice. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venner.
The Anchorage Assembly has voted to put more than $6 million toward shelter for the city's homeless during this next winter. Most of the money comes from funds set aside for the mayor's proposal to build a new mass shelter and navigation center, which the Assembly voted down last month. Instead, the city's cold weather shelter plan involves using hotels, churches, and nonprofits for extra rooms and temporary beds. Approval of the funding for the plan comes as temperatures begin to drop in Anchorage and roughly 450 people remain unhoused. The city is also headed into its first winter since 2020 without a mass walk-in shelter at the Sullivan Arena. The funding was amended to dedicate $1.3 million of it to the Anchorage Affordable Housing and Land Trust to convert vacant and abandoned properties into housing. Assemblymember Felix Rivera proposed the change.
This amendment accomplishes that goal and helps a great partner organization that we've worked with over the last year to bring on almost 300 units of housing, bring on even more housing in the form of rehabilitating vacant and abandoned properties.
Members also unanimously voted to ask Mayor Dave Bronson's administration to look at converting an old solid waste service facility for homeless services. Randy Sult proposed the motion and wants the city to evaluate the site for use as a navigation center for homeless services or as a shelter or warming area.
We're not saying do it, we're saying evaluate it. It can be all, some, or none of the proposed uses. It could be a pallet shelter site.
In brief remarks, Bronson said he supported taking a look at the facility and recommended a work session with his staff and the Assembly to hammer out details. The catastrophic fires on the Hawaiian island of Maui have prompted many Alaskans to want to pitch in to help. There are many ties between the two states and historical similarities, including large populations of military veterans. And in Bethel, the local veterans organization has mobilized for Maui. KYUK's Sunny Bean has this report.
When Tish Gwynn heard about the fires on Maui, she wanted to do something.
Alaska's always been very, very passionate towards Hawaii, like they're our sister state, you know, and we just have a lot of communications back and forth and whatever, like we're related in some way.
There are frequent flights from Anchorage to the islands, and residents feel connected. The pair of non-contiguous states share high prices, a history of recent colonization, and taste in food.
We all love fish. They come to Alaska to fish like crazy. We come down here to hang out on their beaches and fish down here.
So Gwynn and her family decided to get together fish and funds before their annual fall trip to Maui. Gwynn is the past department president and current secretary and treasurer at Bethel's Veteran of Foreign Wars chapter. Gwynn and her niece, Tess Gwynn, the current president, wanted to help out the VFW chapter in Maui. They decided to host a bingo event and dedicated the funds to the fire victims. And they held it on a Saturday for the first time since the pandemic, allowing for a full day of fundraising.
We called it Aloha Day, and we had raffles. We had a chili by the bowl with cornbread for $5. We had all kinds of people coming by and bringing donations of all kinds of things, all kinds of crafts, produce boxes from Tim Myers, and then just lots of other donations that were brought, and then they raffled those off later that night. as well as do the bingo and pull tabs and everything that they did.
In total, they raised $9,759 in one day for Lahaina.
Which I think is pretty fantastic for Bethel and a small community of ours of only 6,000 people that can raise that kind of money was pretty exceptional.
Before heading to Maui with the check, Gwen and her family knew what would be appreciated most.
We personally, me and Jimmy, brought down some of our fish, our supply of our fish, our moose meat, and we brought that directly down to one of the restaurants down here who brought it that by that evening. We brought it in. They had already brought it over to the shelter, and there were already people cooking. That fed a lot of people, a lot of people. And my son just came down yesterday, and he brought more salmon.
To get the meat and fish to Hawaii, they made sure everything was frozen solid. Then they put it in totes, kept them under 50 pounds, and brought them as baggage.
You know, the more perishable items are a little harder to deal with as to non-perishable, but I know they really, really appreciated it because they love their fish just like we do.
Gwen wasn't sure how the shelter prepared the fish, but it would be different. They love salmon, but they mostly have tuna, mahi-mahi, different kinds of whitefish, and many more.
They have found they can make it in their traditional ways or in, with their kind of spices and stuff that they use here and fruits and stuff and just make it taste amazing.
Maui's VFW is one of the many organizations that jumped into action since the Maui wildfires. Gwen helps out with their chapter too.
They've been kind of, since COVID, had some problems too and haven't really been able to have their luaus and their steak nights and some of their events. But they're still meeting and they're still trying to do some projects, which is right now helping out their community with this fire.
She said that funding and other donations like toiletries that Bethel is sending really helped them out. Gwen reported stores are pretty full and people are in temporary housing, but they anticipate the need will be for permanent housing and things homes need, like small appliances, linens, cooking gear, and other homeware. As it is, homes in Hawaii aren't very big and some are overcrowded right now. The Maui VFW chapter is also helping people with transportation needs.
I know they've been doing a lot of transporting people to and from doctor appointments just because a lot of people lost their vehicles in the fire. And so they have no way of getting to, you know, to pick up their medication or see their doctor or those regular visits and stuff that they need.
While at first many were told to stay away from Maui, Gwen said the community is happy to have them.
It's actually very nice. The weather has been fantastic. It's just a stay away zone is the Lahaina area. Everywhere else is wide open. Some of the bad publicity that went out to tell everybody to go away was kind of shocking because that really hurt all of the rest of Hawaii.
Hawaii relies on tourism and the money it brings in. The state is worried about reviving the tourist industry and the multi-billion dollar cost of rebuilding. Gwen said that Lahaina, where the fires hit, is completely sealed off. But the rest of the island is open and welcoming visitors back. And luggage full of salmon would be an obvious plus. In Bethel, I'm Sunny Bean.
A recent study found that warming water and the loss of Arctic sea ice are allowing humpback whales to migrate into the Chukchi Sea. A group of researchers compiled data from scientists, local observers, and hunters. They found reports of more than 200 humpback whales spotted as far north as Point Barrow near Upyabik. The first recorded sighting was in 2007. Previously, humpbacks had only been seen in the Bering Sea. Kate Stafford, a marine mammal biologist and an author on the paper, says humpback whales aren't the only newcomers to the Arctic.
I mean, I think it indicates that the ecosystem of the Pacific Arctic is changing. I mean, it's changing enough that it's got enough prey to support things like humpback whales and fin whales and certainly killer whales.
As human-caused climate change warms the Arctic, its ecosystem is rapidly transforming. Humpbacks are one example of a species that was previously found further south but is now expanding its habitats into the Arctic. Stafford still has a lot of questions about this new migration, like what the humpbacks are feeding on in the Arctic and whether they may disrupt the ecosystem for existing residents like bowhead whales. She said, long term, the change is worrisome.
I do find it a little bit alarming. I mean, humpback whales are doing what they need to do to make a living. But for me, it really represents the loss of this incredibly special ecosystem that is the Arctic.
Stafford says to better understand why humpbacks are migrating, researchers will need more photographs of the whales being spotted up north to identify individual whales and track their movements. She says as long as the warming trend continues, humpbacks are in the Arctic to stay.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
The latest inflation report comes with an asterisk. I'm Nova Safa with the Marketplace Minute. Inflation was at 0.6% in August compared to July. Here's the asterisk. That was mainly due to higher oil prices. Core inflation, which strips out food and energy costs, was at 0.3%, a slight acceleration. Energy prices are likely to stay elevated through the end of the year, according to the International Energy Agency. It faults previously announced production cuts by Saudi Arabia and Russia. No big surprises in these trends, which means the Federal Reserve will likely stay on its telegraphed course. A Reuters poll of economists finds near unanimous agreement that Fed officials will hold interest rates steady at their policy meeting next week. I'm Nova Safa with the Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by Baird. More at BairdDifference.com.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 13th day of September, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 7:35 and it will set again at 8:34. That will give us 12 hours and 59 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 55 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 80 degrees set in 1929, and our record low was 35 degrees set in 1975, and then again in 1987. Currently 52 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, northeast winds to 5 miles per hour out at the airport, where they are also showing 10 miles of visibility. This afternoon, look for scattered showers, mainly after 2 p.m., with mostly cloudy skies and a high near 54, north winds to 5. Scattered showers tonight, too, mainly before 5 a.m. Mostly cloudy skies overnight tonight, with a low of 44, northwest winds 15, gusting to 20. And for tomorrow, isolated showers, then a chance of rain after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, with a high near 55, west winds to 10. Let's check in with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcer Number 43 issued 10 a.m. September 11th. There will be a 54-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, September 12th until 6 p.m. Thursday, September 14th in the Inner Karlik section of the Southwest Kodiak District. Closed waters will be reduced from noon Tuesday, September 12th until 6 p.m. Thursday, September 14th in the following area: Karlik Lagoon Exit Channel Terminus at the ocean shoreline. As previously announced, the following areas are open to commercial salmon fishing until further notice: the Outer Aikulik, Outer Karlik, Sturgeon, Halibut Bay sections, Central and North Cape sections, Northeast Kodiak District, East Side Kodiak District, Cape Alatak, Alatak Bay, Humpy Deadman, Mosier Bay, Olga Bay sections, Northwest of Fognak, Raspberry Strait, Duck Bay, Iduit Bay, and Outer Katoy Bay, Southwest of Fognak and Northeast of Fognak sections, and the Mainland District. Closed waters are expanded until further notice in that portion of the Southwest of Fognak section of the Fognak District, within 1/2 nautical miles of the beach near the terminus of Molina Creek. Till further notice, within the Kodiak area, that portion of Northwest Kodiak and Southwest Kodiak District south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained in the purse seine fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are as shown in the Kodiak area salmon stat charts and detailed in commercial salmon fishing regs. Stat charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And as always, recent salmon fishery announcement information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorded phone at 486-4559.
Looking at our local tides, we have an incoming tide. Our next high tide here on the east side will happen at 2:29 this afternoon and be 7.5 feet, followed by a low tide at 8:06 this evening of 1.8 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 2:54 this afternoon and be 12.9 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 8:50 p.m. of 2.2 feet. Mariners, here is your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak, out to 15 miles offshore. Small craft advisory for tonight and Thursday. For tonight, northwest 25 and seas to 6 feet. For tomorrow, southwest 25 and seas to 7 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, variable 10 becoming northeast 15 this afternoon with 3-foot seas. For tonight, northeast 15 becoming west 20 after midnight with 4-foot seas. And for tomorrow, southwest 20, seas coming up to 6 feet in the Shelikof tomorrow. The following are upcoming Kodiak Island Borough public meetings. On Wednesday, September 13th, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. On Thursday, September 14th, the Kodiak Fisheries Development Association will be having its regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 9 a.m. On Thursday, September 14th, the Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All meetings are open to the public, and the meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Please contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. Assembly meetings are live streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough YouTube channel. Subscribe to get live stream notifications. Today is the Elders Afternoon Game Time at the Kodiak Public Library. That starts at 1 p.m., just about a half hour from now. That's brought to you by Canna Elder Services, and transportation is available for beneficiaries. Call 907-486-7352 to schedule a ride. The Kodiak City Council will be holding a regular council meeting on Thursday, starting at 7:30 p.m. in the library's multipurpose room. The meeting is open to the public, and members of the public are encouraged to tune in here at KMXT on 100.1 FM. The meeting will also be web-streamed, and the link for that and meeting packets are available at the City of Kodiak website. If you have any questions, contact the City Clerk's Office at 907-486-8636. And please join us here at KMXT for a potluck and open house on Friday. That's the 2023 Annual Membership Meeting. The open house starts at 5:30 p.m., and the meeting will be broadcast live on KMXT on 100.1 FM starting at 6:06 p.m. So drop on by Friday starting at 5:30, have a little food, and say hello to everybody. Upcoming events for the Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak include tonight's viewing of the film Alive Inside. Stay for refreshments and a discussion about the film afterwards. That's happening at 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Kodiak Public Library. And on Thursday and Friday, the Senior Center is having free memory screenings. On Thursday, that's between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., and on Friday, it's between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. Call the Senior Center to sign up for these screenings at 907-486-6181. Also on Friday, September 15th, from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at the Senior Center, they're having their Dementia Caregiver Support Group meet and greet with refreshments provided and respite care activities provided for your loved one. So that's between 2 and 3:30 p.m. on Friday at the Senior Center, the Dementia Caregiver Support Group meet and greet. Also on Friday at the Senior Center, from 4 to 6 p.m., Community Talk, Dementia Stages, Changes, and Support. That's at 6 p.m. at the Senior Center. The Kodiak Island Borough will be having a special meeting. That's happening on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers. This meeting has been called by the mayor and is mostly an executive session in which they will discuss litigation strategy regarding the Kodiak Area Native Association versus Kodiak Island Borough case. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Board will be holding a meeting and tour on Monday, September 18th. The meeting and tour will start at 4 p.m. at the Baranoff Park office at 1222 Chichinoff Street. The meeting is open to the public. For more information, call the Parks and Rec office at 907-486-8670. And early voting is available in the Borough Assembly Chamber starting on September 18th, starting on Monday, and that's going through October 2nd. Just go to the Borough Assembly Chambers from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you have any questions about it, call the City Clerk's office at 907-486-8636.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.